Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest in the studio, Dr. Mark Williamson, who is a veterinarian and the owner of the Lansing Veterinary Medical Center here in Lansing. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Williamson.
Thank you, Rick. And Lee, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here, Doc. We appreciate your coming in and talking about this. We're talking about the topic of the cost of veterinary school and how it affects the veterinary profession. I thought of you because, frankly, you're younger than me. So my assumption was that since I knew you went to MSU Vet School, you've probably been through it in the last few years, at least the last 20 years, and you've got a pretty good understanding of how vet school has changed in terms of affordability. Can you talk a little bit about
that? Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that, you know, everything is changing in this world. And Dr. Lloyd kind of mentioned a lot of different things that have happened with the tuition needed to increase, the class sizes of the veterinarians. Over time, education has cost a lot more. The cost of education has doubled in the last decade or two from what it was when I went to school. And that's a burden that every veterinarian has to take on when they get out. The downside on that is that the salaries being offered and the ability to prepay that are not holding up to that. So it's becoming a lot more of a financial burden for, you know, students that are graduating in this profession.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just make a quick comment here. We're looking at a graph here. And just to, for the listening audience, in 1998, we were looking at somewhere around an average salary, probably what, right out of school?
Yeah, those are starting salaries.
Starting salary of around $30,000, actually maybe $35,000. Yep. And they would have a debt coming out of school, and this is in 98, of around $60,000. And now, fast forward to 2010, the average starting salary comes out at around $45,000 or so, but the actual debt walking out of school is somewhere close to $140,000. Does that make sense?
Pretty much. A little, you know, what it's saying is that, and that's the overall salaries across the board taken from all of the graduating, you know, veterinarians. Now, if we take out the ones that have gone into the internships and the residency and stayed in academia, because, you know, they basically are, you know, offered a much lower type salary, that graph gets a little better, but not much. You know, the graduating veterinarian gets offered nowadays about $68,000 as a starting salary in private practice. You know, back in 98, they were probably offered about $39,000, $40,000. So it hasn't dramatically changed. So this graph is pretty accurate if you take everybody graduating on through.
Internships that are offered now than there were? Would dilute that number down?
There's an awful lot more. I mean, you got 28 vet schools, and before that's all you had for your internships. Well, there's specializations that have taken place around the country. Now those practices can take on interns as well. And so the number of interns going into, you know, things have increased. But that student still has the same debt load, you know. So that debt load is by far accurate. You know, graduating right now with a debt load about $140,000 and, you know, having, you know, an income offered about $65,000 to $70,000, that's a tremendous burden to try to find a way to repay that. And there has to be some solutions coming up on that to make it affordable.
Well, and Doc, where I see that problem really coming to roost is when I walk into a vet's practice and I talk with different vets around Lansing. One of the things that I've heard pretty consistently is that there's a lot of people who come in with sick animals, and the dilemma that they face is that if they don't have insurance, then they ask what it costs. If they can't afford what it costs, then as an animal lover, either they expect you to pick up the burden and do it for what they can afford to do, which becomes difficult because student debt and cost of running a business is out there. Or what they do is they end up giving the animal up for adoption to one of the various agencies that are out there. And once again, they come to the vet community looking for discounted vet service. And so I just see this as a vicious circle. Is that what you're experiencing?
Well, it is, and I think there's a lot more dynamics involved than just the educational debt of our students. But that plays an impact on, you know, how a practice is ran, being able to, you know, bring on, you know, new graduates and be able to support that business. You have a community of veterinarians around here working very hard on that. But you got pet owners that are also struggling economically. And so that is income that they have to set aside to care for that pet. The cost of veterinary care has increased over time, and unfortunately, our profession has been slow to try to catch up for that, and that's put our ability to be profitable in jeopardy. And so pet owners don't have that understanding, and that's an emotional situation, and sometimes we end up looking like the ones that aren't really helping them out as much because we can't bend that, you know, that estimate as much as we'd like. And so there's not a lot of great alternatives when that pet is in crisis. We need to provide that care, and a mom and dad don't really have that ability to pay that.
So. I was just thinking, you know, like a food chain, we all start out, you know, with the actual consumer. The vet school is an actual, you know, response for the fact that there's demand at the level of the rank and file average pet owner, and then it just manages to manifest itself over the years. Then we get institutions that are in place to create the phenomenal vets that we have today. But we still have to get back, if we take a rearview mirror and look down the food chain, or we look up the food chain, you know, the reality is it still falls on the shoulders of the person that owns the pet.
Right.
Sure it does, yeah.
Well, but one of the dilemmas, too, that a lot of people don't think about is that as technology improves, the dilemma for the vet is that they need to have access to this technology to do their job well, and it keeps getting, unfortunately, more expensive as they keep inventing newer and better ways to create everything. At the beginning, they cost more.
Yeah.
Yes, over time, the prices do come down, mm-hmm. but at the beginning, if they come out with a great way of doing bone scans or other things like that, then you want the vets to have access to that technology to give the best possible care to your pet that they can. Mm-hmm. So once again, I kind of see this as a vicious cycle that it's very difficult for the consumer to understand who has to foot that bill. They don't understand why the cost is what it is, but that is the reason. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely. I mean, medicine has evolved so much and technology is so improved that what you see at your own doctor, I mean, is capable of being done and available through our veterinarians. You know, there has to be a way to do that, you know, in a very smart way. But those pieces of equipment, that technology, you know, it has some price to pay. And you have to find a way to be able to get your answers and provide that care, but you have to offset the cost of that equipment.
Let me ask, it just seems like in falling economics that inevitably it would be increasingly more difficult to have as many family vet practices, so to speak, or personal private vet practices if the cost of the actual institution that they have to buy into, so mm-hmm. to speak, the physical brick and mortar, is that much more expensive. Is that true, or does that not make sense?
Well, it is true. And to try to kind of bring things into full circle with what Dr. Lloyd was talking about is, you know, why that increased educational cost has been there and how they've offset things with increase in tuition, increase in students. Well, the downside on that is those increased students, when they graduate, they're looking for a job as well. And the profession as a whole over the last, you know, 15 years or so has become a little bit overpopulated in a lot of areas of veterinary practices. And there's no way you can have as many clinics operating efficiently with the dynamics we are now. So two things are going to have to happen. Either we're going to have to merge these practices together so that people are in group settings, or corporate America, which is out there right now, is going to, you know, step up to the plate and start controlling that. Now, that may or may not be a good problem, but it's happening even around here.
Yeah, and when you see these very large corporate veterinary companies coming to play, again, it can become a lot like what happened in human medicine, mm-hmm. where that personal relationship with that doctor, that familiarity with the pet and the doctor goes away, because in a corporate setting, you never know who you're going to be dealing with. You never know how long someone's going to be in one place at one time, because they could be moved around to a variety of different locations. So I can see where mm-hmm. it becomes a real conundrum.
I'm listening to this this conversation, I just want to go out and give a big hug to my local vet.
We appreciate that.
With good reason. Dr. Williamson, if people have questions about this, you obviously know quite a bit about it. You're over at the Lansing Veterinary Medical Center over on Jolly off of Dunkel. Mm-hmm. Are you available if people want to talk with you about this who are considering becoming a vet?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is an important topic for, you know, our young people looking for their future, our current pet owners, and people that may be looking at getting a pet. So if there's questions on any of these topics, feel free to give me a call. Phone number is 517-393-9200. I'd be happy to help out however I can.
Yeah, and if you've got questions, you really need to pursue them now, because if you get involved in this profession and lo and behold, discover that you've got a whole lot of debt and not a lot of prospects to pay it back, that's a problem. But at the same time, we don't want kids giving up on their dreams. If you want to, if you love animals and you want to be involved with them, it is a great way to go.
Oh, by all means, we want to encourage, you know, people to look at this as a profession. It is a phenomenal opportunity to be part of this community. So by all means, we want to have people have that as a dream and a goal and pursue that. Just do your homework and get all those questions answered.
Absolutely. We've been speaking this morning with Dr. Mark Williamson, the owner of the Lansing Veterinary Medical Center. Dr. Williamson, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation with a vet student right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. 'Cause I get 1,000 hugs from 10-